I think we've supplied you, just to give you a bit of a head start, with some of the questions that have come in about Omicron. Now it is in the community. We're getting a lot of information all at once. We're going to get some more at 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Yes.
When, I'm not sure who it is who's addressing, whether it's the Prime Minister or whether it's the Chris
Hipkins. I think it might be Aisha Verrill today.
Dr. Aisha Verrill, that's right, yeah. So anyway, more coming today. Let's get into some of these questions that people are asking. A lot of questions about masks, obviously. Now,
yes.
The surgical mask, is this the blue exterior one that many of us are wearing? And where does it sit now in the latest advice?
Yes. So the surgical masks are good. There's only better than nothing. One of the issues around them is fit. So sometimes they have kind of, you know, gaping holes at the side. So the recommendation, if you can't have access to other masks, is to actually put that with a fabric mask over the top of it, which will help it fit better. Still useful. I think what the message we have to get everyone to remember is that a mask is better than nothing, but there are some masks that are better than others. And the really important thing is fit, is not having huge air gaps, is wearing it over your mouth and nose, and using masks in addition to other things like being vaccinated, like thinking about your environment, you know, what's the risk of where you are, those kinds of things.
Okay. Let's crack on. So you just answered one question. Cloth mask on top of the surgical mask gives a bit of extra protection. Now let's talk about these masks that everyone's rushing out to buy. There's P2, there's N95, there's KN95 being sold in hardware stores. They're probably running out, but they are being sold in hardware stores. Now there are some, and I'm not sure if it's in this category, but I've seen them. There are some stores in the tradies, you know, mask protection area that have a valve on the front to be avoided, or
Yes, I would avoid the valves. So the valves are really to help, provide a bit more airflow so people can breathe better. And you can only really use a mask with a valve if it's got an actual filter on it, a proper HEPA filter. That means that when you are breathing out, if you have the virus, you are not actually just breathing out, you know, unfiltered infectious virus into the air. So given that it can be really hard to know, has your valved one got the proper kind of filter? I would avoid ones with valves completely.
So the P2s, the N95s, now the KN95s, a little bit of controversy about them because globally I think you need to be careful where you're sourcing this from, right?
You need to be careful with all of them. So we know, just like in the early days of the pandemic, you know, with tests and things, the market gets flooded with counterfeit goods. One of the things to say about all these different numbers and letters is that all around the world, lots of different countries have different standards for these kinds of things. So a KN95 mask and an N95 mask and I think it's either a P2 or a P3 mask, they might have this more or less the same kind of levels of protection, but they're abiding by different standards from different countries, which makes this all very, very confusing. It's all about basically how big are the particles that it lets through and how much of the particles do they let through. So that 95, that high number, is basically saying this is quite a protective thing that stops a large number of particles.
95%. Now, someone just asking, and let's get to the bottom of this again, because there's lots of jargon. This person says a friend got a box of DM P2 masks from Mitre 10, or the P2, I imagine, is the key there. There was a 3M 8210 N95 P2 from Blackwells. 3M's the manufacturer, right? P2 and N95, the key things you're looking for. I also have a few 3M 1060 N95 P2s. The N95 and the P2 from a reputable supplier, is that the shortcut?
Yes. I mean, they might also be made of different materials. So that might be the difference between the 8210 and the 1860. So really what you're looking for is, reputable supplier who's going to make sure that they've got things that are not from a counterfeit supplier themselves, and to look for that. So N95s are the ones that may well be in very short supply. And that's why we're suggesting some of these other other combinations of letters and numbers that have been tested to a slightly different standard in other countries.
Okay. Now let's talk about the rapid antigen test. So much discussion around that at the moment. We know many businesses are saying, hey, we tried to order these, we couldn't get permission, we're still waiting for some things to be permitted by MedSafe. The latest story is the government is, you know, sort of commandeering some that were on order. The government's saying we want to use them at the right time in the outbreak.
Absolutely.
That they do carry a higher percentage of false positives. Just help people understand where the rapid antigen tests are going to sit and what, if we can get them, right, and what the pros and cons are of their use.
So the difference between a rapid antigen test and a PCR test is that the rapid antigen test is looking for bits of actual virus, whereas the PCR test is looking for the genetic material of the virus. So the PCR tests are much more sensitive and they can detect the virus much earlier in infection. So one of the problems with rapid antigen tests is that when you use them, depending on where you are in your infectious period, you know, have you just been exposed? Are you before your symptoms have started? You may test negative on those tests, but actually be positive, right? So it gives you a false negative. You think you're fine, but you're actually not. That tends to be the way that these ones are going. The other issue that we're seeing from overseas is because Omicron has changed slightly in how it infects in the body. What we're seeing is that lots of people are using a nasal swab to do their rapid antigen tests, and they're testing negative on that. But if they swab their throat or use a saliva sample, they're testing positive on that. So that's the other thing that's really complicating things, that depending on what the instructions might say on the test, it might say this is a nasal swab test, you actually might still be positive, but it comes out negative. Does that make sense? We're also actually seeing this in the PCR tests. So a study just done in South Africa has looked at the same thing and looked at saliva versus nasal swabs. And for Delta, the nasal swabs are much better than saliva. But actually for Omicron, the saliva test, it managed to pick up all of them, whereas it missed probably about 1 in 10 for when it used a nasal swab only. So this is the problem with all the tests, is that just because you test negative does not mean you're incubating or that you're kind of just in that stage before you might become infectious.
That answers quite a few questions people have had, that because of incubation times, there can be early false negatives out of RATs. I think the really big question is going to be for those workforces trying to keep going, isn't it? Major matter, and that is hopefully something where there is greater clarity coming in time. It was interesting talking to our Australian correspondent this morning. Again, they can't get RATs for people at home either, and this idea that we're all going to end up logging onto a website and saying, yes, I'm at home with Omicron, is going to be dependent on whether we can get tests. It just may not be how things pan out the next few weeks.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, I think they're really useful for being able to say, am I infectious right now? Because if the test is positive, absolutely. But if the test is negative, unfortunately, it's not an indication that you might not just be at the cusp where the test is, you know, the test.
So they need to be used regularly. They need to be used regularly. All right. Yes. Let's quickly get through some more questions. Very quickly, you can answer this one. If you get Omicron, are you immune from getting it again?
Too early to say, but probably not. I mean, you know, the way things are going around the world, I would be expecting another wave, and I don't think you can expect to be fully protected.
However, the next question helps because we're combining both vaccination, immunisation and natural immunisation, perhaps from some cases, and the general advice is all of this is building up our resistance, hopefully, right? This person asks, is having the booster shot reviving the original vaccinations? Is the original protection waning after 6 or 7 months? I've been hearing in the media 2 shots for Delta and 3 shots for Omicron, which I find is a bit confusing. Just explain what that third shot does. I've heard someone compare it to the first time you hear something, you kind of get it. The second time you get it a bit more. The third time you're a lot more onto it. Is that kind of what's happening to our immune systems?
That's actually a really, really great a great way of thinking about it. Yeah, that it's that sort of first catch, of a tune versus the starting to remember it. So you're not reviving the vaccination. You know, we get something into our body that stimulates our body. That thing, the vaccine, is gone within a couple of days. But what's left is the memory of what your body saw. And so the more, actually, I saw another example of this as tickling your immune system. So the kind of the more you tickle it, the more it responds. The better it responds, and with that third dose, you get a slightly different response because it's starting to sort of tickle slightly different bits of the immune system.
Okay, this one we've only got 2 minutes, Susie, but let's give it a go. I have a 16-month-old and a 4-year-old. My partner and I are vaccinated. I'm deeply worried about them with Omicron on the horizon. Do you have any advice? What for parents?
Yeah,
with young
I mean, I
children?
Think we should. We should just be all be doing what we can to really, prevent transmission. I think this goes for all of us. It's going to be really tricky for those people whose children are in primary school, or early education, because, we're not sort of recommending masks for certain children. But all the adults around them being masked, being vaccinated, really thinking about, and having that booster shot, really thinking about ventilation. Those are the things that we need to do to really help children like that.
And very, very quickly, sorry to do this. Also, my partner's been advised by his GP not to get his booster till 6 months, as he had such a strong immune response and was quite unwell after second dose. He ended up in hospital being assessed for myocarditis. I wonder if he should get AstraZeneca instead. Probably is one for the doctors, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I've just been looking up about the AstraZeneca and whether there's any, whether the myocarditis is a risk for that. What we know is there's other risks, but being vaccinated is better than actually getting COVID. So I think that's one definitely to discuss with the doctor in more depth.
And very quickly, who do I notify about a cafe that's not asking for vax certificates and openly accepting people who are not vaccinated? Is it WorkSafe that's investigating them?
Yeah, I believe there'll either be something on the COVID-19 website or on MB's website about a place you can report them.
10 seconds. I was kicked sideways by my second COVID vax, in bed for 2 days, but poorly for a week. Should I expect the same when I get my booster?
Possibly. I was exactly the same, so I'm wondering. I would put a couple of days aside to try and, to recover.
Thank you, Susie, very much. Dr. Susie Wiles, our science commentator today, associate professor, she is at the University of Auckland.